Brethren, good morning. I want to begin with thanking y'all for the invitation to come out and be a part of the gospel meeting here at Leoni. And so in gospel meetings, there's kind of a couple of different directions that you can go with these. Used to in times past and still to some degree, we use gospel meetings as an evangelistic effort to kind of reach the lost, maybe those that have not heard the gospel. But there's also a second focus, and sometimes that focus is on the church itself, because we're to build up and to edify one another. So hopefully this week, the second part's going to be maybe our focus on building up the body, edifying one another, and provoking one another to love and to good works. And so I say this from the outset because this week may seem like an unusual set of sermons for a gospel meeting. As I said, I know we usually focus these on doctrinal issues, and no problem with that. But as we said, we want to focus on some things that are of a personal nature, because what is the congregation? It's built up of individuals working together and growing with that. And as you can see by our title slide this morning, when we think about this concept of personal growth or growing personally as a Christian, now consider with me, there's a condition that's called FTT. It stands for failure to thrive. And so this is a condition that sometimes young people will get, infants, babies as they're born. And in this, they're falling behind in their growth and thus a failure to thrive. And if you were to read the reports on this, there's ways to manage it and things of that nature. Now, you're a parent and you've just got a newborn, and your newborn is failing to thrive. Your newborn is failing to grow. It's failing to put on the weight that is needed to leave the hospital, to go home. How would you as a parent be affected by that? I dare say all of us would show great concern. What can we do? What can we do to help this condition for my loved one, my child, to grow, to thrive? And thus we understand that in a physical realm. And so we expect kids to have a certain number of calories and things that go on with that. Now, as I said, what lengths would you go to ensure that your child was growing properly? Now, let's take a physical problem and let's turn it spiritual. What if there was another problem, and instead of FTT, a failure to thrive, we might call this problem FSG, and that is a failure to spiritually grow. And thus the admonition for us as Christians to grow personally in that. Now in this, I want you to consider some statistics. You're going to see a lot of statistics this week. And in that, because they set the foundation to make us understand the reality of what we're facing sometimes. So some of the statistics, just from general searches, Christians claim to believe the Bible is God's Word. We claim to believe that it is divinely inspired and the inerrant message, and it is. And we believe it not because we believe it, but because it is. Yet despite this, statistics show that we as Christians are not reading the Bible as we one time did. There was a recent Lifeway research study, and there are a few studies that I reference from time to time that are known to be conservative in their findings. But in this, it found that only 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. Over 40% of the people attending read their Bible occasionally, or maybe even once or twice a month. It goes on, almost 1 in 5 churchgoers say they never read the Bible, or never read the Bible, essentially the same number who read it every day. Now there was a British survey that was also conducted in this. And there's also a couple of other issues of interest to me. And that is, a lot of times what we see happening overseas or what we see happening out west, I keep my eye towards, because it has a way to filter towards us. And in that, this particular British survey noted that around 30%, note this, of parents parents didn't know Adam and Eve, David and Goliath, or the Good Samaritan. Now, I want to time out right there. As many of you know, being from here, I work construction. Now I teach high school at Smyrna High. So one particular morning, we were on bus duty, and I was talking with an individual that was working with me on our bus duty, and he had been out to Glacier National Park out west. And I had just preached a series of sermons called From Creation to Catastrophe, dealing with the book of Genesis and the flood of Noah, dinosaurs, Ice Age, Tower of Babel, things of that nature. And so the Ice Age, it was just something that I'd really been studying, was excited about, and Glacier National Park was one of those places where the ice had come down and the moraines had scraped across the landscape, and you can literally see the effects of the Ice Age there. And so he and I were talking about this. It was a great conversation, and I made a reference to the Good Samaritan. And he's like, who? And I said, you know, the story in the Bible about the Good Samaritan. This individual's up in his 20s or 30s, a teacher, had never heard the story of the Good Samaritan. My mind was blown. I thought everybody knew the story of the Good Samaritan. We live in a county, if you go back into the 30s, we have a hospital named the Good Samaritan Hospital. So to see individuals and these studies right here, now this is a British survey, 30% of parents, what's that say about what their children are being taught? You continue on to make matters worse. In this survey, 27% think Superman is or might be a biblical story. It continues on, more than 1 in 3 believes the same about Harry Potter, and more than half believe the Hunger Games is or might be a story from the Bible. Now that's comical and sad at the same time, that this is the society, the realm, the world we're living in. So thus the understanding of personal growth and its necessity. So understanding the seriousness of this personal growth, think with me about the admonitions from the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. He's written at least 2 letters to them about problems, and then he finally comes to an end, and he says, put yourself to scrutiny, examine yourself. Are you in the faith? That takes some searching of self in that. Consider also, you're familiar with Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. That was the congregation at Laodicea in those 7 churches that Jesus wrote to there, or John the Apostle, Jesus giving his message to them. But in that, they were lukewarm. They were apathetic. They didn't really, whatever, okay, sirrah, sirrah. And because of their lukewarmness, they would be spewed out of his mouth. Now, do you think they were growing spiritually, personally, as a congregation? In Hebrews 5:12, the Hebrew writer would simply say this, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and strong meat. How long have you been a Christian? How long have you personally been a Christian? Can you teach the gospel to someone else? How much time is needed to be able to teach someone the gospel? Apparently, from this letter, very possibly, there was a span of, let's say, maybe 30 years from the day of Pentecost to the time of this writing right here. So you've got 30-year-old Christians that were still on the first principles and had need to be taught of them again, but then he would continue on that with that, they needed to move on to perfection, a more mature faith. Now, in this personal growth, I want us to think along this line. Whose responsibility is my growth? And I want us to see that it is personal, but yet we play a part with each other in this. Take, for example, the elders' role. Do the elders play a role in a congregation's growth? Absolutely. In Ephesians 4:11, Paul says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." And thus that pastors there, we understand that's one of the words in the New Testament, one of three Greek words from which we get six English words to identify the role of an elder or a shepherd or an overseer in that. So in this concept of an elder is a shepherd, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not, when he maketh me to lie down in green pastures." And what's so beautiful about that is the Lord was doing this as David would reflect upon that, but that is exactly what the elders do for a congregation. They provide for their flock, their sheep in that. The elders in Acts 20 and verse 28, "Take heed," Paul was writing to the elders from Ephesus, he was at Miletus, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God." So take heed to feed the elders' role in this. Now, in the elders' role, have the elders done that here at Leona? I would answer absolutely in the affirmative that they have. How have they done that? Well, first of all, they've provided a good, sound gospel minister that's preaching the whole council. They have provided and seen too that there are solid, sound Bible classes, and also this gospel meeting that we're conducting this week is for this purpose, to help us grow, to help us to be edified. So when it comes to this, if I miss Bible study, if I miss worship, if I fail to grow personally, am I taking advantage of the things and the opportunities? Now consider the preacher's role. Does the preacher play a part in this? Well, once again, I would say yes, in the affirmative. Because the admonition to the minister, the preacher, is this, to preach the word, the command of what Paul told Timothy when he left him at Ephesus. Also, the minister in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." Now, notice the word of God, "which effectually or powerfully works in you." The word and my growth. Once again, the preacher's delivering that word. James 1:18, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." How were we begotten? By the word of truth. And then lastly, 1 Corinthians 4:15, he says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, have ye not many fathers? For in Christ Jesus, how did I begat you? It was through the gospel." So once again, when it comes to the preacher's role, has the preacher done his part? Absolutely. Does he preach the whole counsel of God? To my knowledge, he does. Does he speak the truth in love? And I know him. Yes, he does. And so the preacher has done his part, but we're talking about personal growth in this. So when we come back to this thought, whose responsibility is this? Well, this becomes my responsibility. Remember, Paul said, "Examine yourselves in this." So I am responsible and my part to play in this growth. As we noted, examine self. Here were individuals who had become lukewarm and apathetic. Do you think that they were growing? Once again, in Hebrews 5:12, these individuals, they were either strong or weak, milk or meat in that, and thus the admonition that they were to move on, that they were to become complete in their growth. In 2 Peter 3:18, once again, the admonition for me personally, the last words of Peter, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be a glory both now and forever. Amen. So if the elders provide sound classes, if the preacher provides sound preaching, am I growing if I do not take advantage of this? And so this brings us to our thought this morning. And that is personal growth. How do I grow, or am I growing as a Christian? And to help us with that, we want to look at three particular thoughts, time allowing. Number one, how do I know? Is there some kind of a test? Secondly, how do I grow? And then lastly, how does it show in my life, this personal growth? Now, how do I know if I'm growing? And there's a very simple litmus test. Three particular passages serve as interest to this. How do I know if I'm growing? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3, that I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. The word carnal, or fleshly minded, there's spiritually minded and there's fleshly minded individuals. And Paul says, you're so in the flesh, I can't even speak to you in the spiritual things. Well, how do we know if we're in the flesh? Well, he tells. The problems that they were suffering was, there was envy, there was strife, and there were divisions among them. And so that was one of the tests. How do I know if I'm growing? Well, how well do I get along with my fellow brethren? How well do I get along with the outside world? And thus spiritual growth, we endure one another with that. Secondly, in Romans 14:1, once again, he talks about him that is weak receiving the faith. But in Romans 15:1, he talks about those that were strong. So once again, when it comes to me personally, I'm not looking at anybody else. I'm thinking about me. Am I strong or am I weak in the faith? Am I growing as I ought to, as the Bible admonishes me to in this? And then once again, Hebrews 5:12. There was a time they ought to be teachers. We noted this. And I asked the question a moment ago, how long have you been a Christian? Have you ever led someone to the Lord? Do you know enough to spread the gospel or to give someone the gospel? And are you growing in that response? How long should it take to learn the plan of salvation and be able to give the gospel to someone else? Now, in Hebrews 5, time you ought to be teachers. But this is where in Hebrews 6, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Translates a maturity there. So they were to grow. Chapter 5, milk versus meat. Chapter 6, let's move on to this perfection of maturity, and thus the admonition for us to grow as Christians. Now, this brings us to the crux of our matter this morning. And this is the serious question. How do I grow as a Christian? And this is something that I find fascinating because the Bible answers this so simply. How do I grow? Notice with me the Bible word grow. You're going to see this word used about 9 times in the New Testament. You're going to see it used of flowers. You're going to see it there in Matthew 13. It's used of tares and wheat. And of interest, there's 3 particular passages that tell us how to grow. Now, this particular word that's used has the sense and the nuance, the definition of to cause to grow, to increase, to become greater, or to increase in Christian growth. Now, how do I grow with that? This becomes what we might call a Bible seminar on growth. And here's one of our 3 passages. Peter says, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do I grow? Here becomes a condition, or this growing in grace. when Peter uses this phrase, this growing in grace, is a condition, a spiritual condition that was governed by grace. Now this word grace is used in the New Testament, used in a couple of different senses, but in one particular sense, it has to deal with the power behind something. The power behind something. That's why Paul could say this. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul understood that the power was not of himself, but it was in the Lord. Now let's make this personal. I want you to consider Gail Raines. Several of the congregation, and I think I told Brother Howell this morning, we've been gone now to Midway, I think 12, 13 years or so. And I look out over the congregation and I see a lot of new faces, individuals that weren't here 13 years ago. Some of y'all, y'all missed a treat. Y'all didn't get to know this brother as I knew him. Gail Raines was a man who knew about the grace of God and the power of God working in an individual's life. And I still remember when Gail would tell me that story of faith. He said some people treat faith like sand. They scoop it up thinking they've got all they need. And the tighter they squeeze, the more it runs out of their fingers. And that's why he'd say, you got to go back in and you got to get more. You got to grow in this. But when Gail asked me to preach his funeral, he wanted me to preach on two things. Truth and grace. Because he understood it was not him, but it was the power of God working in him. And thus he would say something to this effect. It's not what you can do for God, but what God can do with you. So Peter says, grow in grace. Peter continues. He says, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge. Now, how do I know, or how do I grow in knowledge? Now, I want you to notice Peter's use of the word knowledge. If you have your scriptures with you, and you were to look at 2 Peter chapter 3, if you were to begin at chapter 1, and maybe you can do this in your personal reflection time, and that was start with chapter 1, verse 1, and go through chapter 3 and verse 18. Every time you come to the word knowledge, underline that word, or if you don't write in your Bibles, make a note. You're going to see that he uses this word knowledge multiple times. Peter was all about the knowledge of something. Now, of interest, and we won't get into it, but there are several different ways Peter uses the word knowledge throughout the epistle. There was gnosis, gnosko, epigenosis. Those were Greek words for that. But when Peter says in 3:18, but grow in the knowledge, it had to deal with the general understanding. And thus he's admonishing them to advance in their knowledge of something. Remember the word grow, to increase, to abound. And so he wants them to increase in something, and that something is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So growing in that knowledge, and as we said, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you might ask, well, brother, how do I grow in that knowledge? It's simple. There's four, just a little exercise. There's four words that are used right there. What if in our personal study we're seeking to learn more about the Lord? We just simply take those four words. Now here's the word Lord. What does that mean? How's that word used? Well, the word Lord means master, ruler. So now when I look at Jesus, I want to grow in the knowledge of He is my Lord, and I want to be obedient to my Lord in what He says. And I'm going to search the Scriptures. How can I obey my Lord? Because He's my master, my ruler. I've sworn my allegiance to Him. Well, there's another word. He says Lord and Savior. Now, if I were to spend some time with this particular word, and I were to come to this thought of a Savior, why that word? What do I need saving from? What is it that I'm to be saved for? What does He save me from? And if we were to study this particular word, we would see that it's because of sin that we can't get out of, that I'm doomed and damned to a devil's hell, that I need someone to save me from sin. And I need the forgiveness that only He can give. And not only that, He saves me from myself in this, in that Christian life. Now there's another word that's used, and that's the word Jesus. So in Matthew chapter 1, round about 18 through 22, and His name shall be called Jesus, and He what? Shall save His people from their sins. And then lastly, here's the word Christ. Translates the Old Testament word Messiah. It means the anointed one. So that when we see Jesus called the Christ, this means that this was the individual that God has put His stamp upon and said, this is the way I'm saving mankind. Now, just in those four words, have we increased our knowledge of Jesus Christ in that. So in this particular passage, we notice the grow grace and knowledge, a second passage. And that is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Where once again he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So when it comes to my personal growth, it's by the Scriptures, the power of the Word, that our growth comes by. So once again, here's this word to increase. We're explicitly told how. Now, if you were to go back and you're in 1 Peter chapter 1, you see at the very end of that particular chapter, he talks about that we are begotten by the Word, or born of the Word. And thus, when we come into chapter 2, we see there was a conversion, chapter 1. We come into chapter 2, he begins verse 1, with my corrupt lifestyle, lay aside these things. Thirdly, he talks about our course of conduct, verse 2, as newborn babes desire that ye may grow thereby. Now, personal growth out of our former conduct. This is what he says in verse 1. And this is what I find of interest in this. He begins with this thought of growth, but where does he start? I remember how I used to be. I remember my lifestyle before I was a Christian. He says, lay aside those things. There was supposedly a custom in the first century that when an individual was baptized, that they would take off and they would lay aside their garments. They were baptized into Christ, never to put those garments on again, because it represented what they were before they were a Christian. That seems to be the terminology that Peter uses here when he says, lay aside, there was a time this was a part of your life, lay it aside and move on from that. And thus he gives us some admonitions, this malice or ill will, guile or deceit, thus hypocrisy, and thus that's a pretender, thus evil speaking, a defamation. And so in that, how do we grow? Well, there's a couple of ways. First of all, as a newborn babe. Now, I think we understand a newborn, how that you know when they're hungry. You know when they need to be fed. They will let you know. In that, There is an intense desire. It is a craving for. So this newborn babe, how helpless they are without the milk of the mother. How helpless we as Christians become without the Word of God. That's how we grow. And thus in this, as this newborn babe, if you just simply set this babe apart and give it no attention whatsoever, we know what will happen. Why is that any different in our spiritual lives? Thus the admonition to desire something. And thus it begins with my desire for the Word of God. Do I crave the Word as I ought to? Am I like the psalmist in Psalm 1, round about verses 1 and 2, whose delight was in the law of the Lord? Now, that sincere milk of the Word. In this sincere milk of the Word, there was kind of a custom of the day that when it came to milk products that they would take and they would cut them with gypsum in that to make the milk go further. And so some of your translations, New King James, you might see it an unadulterated or a pure King James, the sincere milk of the Word. Pure is what we might think. So just like that babe craves pure milk from the mother, we as Christians desire the milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. There's a third passage, and with this will bring us in towards our landing this morning. Ephesians 4:15, he says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ." There's our word, grow. And this is that third passage, and when it comes to how do I grow? Now, maybe some of you have asked your son as he was growing up, what do you want to be when you grow up? Some might say, I want to be like you, Daddy, or I want to be a fireman, or I want to be a police officer, or I want to be a whatever. We understand that there's an infancy, but there will be a maturity. What do you want to be when you come to maturity? And thus for us as Christians, notice what he says, that we might grow up to be like Jesus. And so ultimately for us as Christians, we have one goal in mind. I want to grow up to be like Christ. I want to think like Christ. I want to act like Christ. I want to evangelize. I want to love like Jesus did. To love people, and I want to grow up like unto him. Now, if you'll notice that context, and we won't take time this morning, but if you were to go back to Ephesians chapter 4 there and begin reading in round about verse 7 through 15, I want you to notice the emphasis once again in your personal study time. Maybe you might underline or make note of the phrase, and every time you come to Christ, in those verses, that he's always pointing towards Christ. He's always pointing towards this is the one that we're to bring glory to. This is the one we're to emulate. This is the one that we're to grow up like. And then lastly, our third and last point is this. How does it show when I grow? Well, we noted the psalmist there a moment ago. He says in Psalm 1, in verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." I've got a picture that I took over in South America in a particular village one day. And there's three paths. There's a well-worn path, and it comes to, I think, three branches that branch out. And it brings to mind this verse. There's three paths an individual can take. You're walking along with ungodly individuals. You're moving. You're in motion. But then here becomes a picture of an individual who becomes more settled. And now they're standing in the way of the sinners. They're not moving. They've become less mobile. And then lastly, you're fully seated down with the ungodly in this. Or the scorners, excuse me, those that would openly mock Christianity. He says this individual, blessed is the man that doesn't walk this way, but verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this doth he in his law doth he meditate day and night. Once again, the psalmist would say 119, 104, and 5, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in Galatians 5 and 16 simply says this, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Once again, I would encourage you in Galatians chapter 5 right there, note the word of Spirit. You're going to see walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and a couple of other words that he uses for the Spirit. So, in this thought, personal growth. Three particular passages, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in that grace and knowledge. 1 Peter 2 and 2, newborn babes desire. And then lastly, from Ephesians 4:15, we're to grow up and be like Christ. Brethren, thank y'all this morning for y'all's kind attention. I appreciate y'all suffering through with me. Thank y'all. We'll drive a peg right there.